Well, we have looked briefly at the Assyrian captivity of the house of Israel and also the house of Judah. And we also took a look at the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem, the three elements of Israel. In addition, we have also seen that all of the 12 tribes of Israel, of all of those people, only a very few from the stock of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. And remember now, in past lessons, we have learned that it was not until this remnant returned from Babylon that there was ever a people known as Jews. In addition, and according to Nehemiah and Ezra, those returning from Babylon almost immediately began to pollute their bloodline by marrying people other than their own kind. Now, we find this account in Ezra chapter 9 and 10 and Nehemiah chapter 13. We're not going to have time to read all of those chapters and verses, but we will take a look at a couple of them. Let's look at Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. So what we see here again is an abomination, of course. Abomination being the mixing of the holy seed with the people of the land. And listen to all of those people. You got Canaanites, you got Hittites, or Hittites and Perizzites, the Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and the Amorites. God told them not to do that, but here they violated it as soon as they came back from Babylon. And so severe was this offense considered that these mixed-seeded peoples as wives and even their offspring of these people were separated from the true-blooded remnant and they were forced to leave. We find that in Ezra chapter 10, verse 3. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God. And let it be done according to the law. So, all this race mixing took place. Sons and daughters were born. And even though they were separated finally from the true remnant, the true-blooded remnant, they still lived in the land, but they were put away from the remnant until a later time in history. Well, as we go on and move down the historical path of Israel, we find that the bloodline of Jewry, again, Jewry, not Israel, was once again adulterated when they absorbed the Idumeans, who were the descendants of Esau, or the people of Edom. According to Josephus in his Antiquities of the Jews, John Hyrcanus subjected the Idumeans between about 130 and 120 B.C., and he compelled them to accept Judaism as a religion. And from that day on, they were absorbed into the so-called Jewish race and also called Jews. Well, what does this mean? Well, this means that the Edomites were fully assimilated into the Jewish society in Judea at the time of Christ. And many or most of the people of Judea would be a people of mixed seed. They would certainly not be pure Israelites. And certainly, in that context, they would not be children of the promise, having mixed the holy seed. Now, this does not mean that all of the people in Judea at the time of Christ were of the mixed races. Absolutely not. There were certainly a few, and we know that at least Mary and Joseph were of those. There were certainly some who had kept their lineage pure, as did Noah, who the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, was perfect in his generations. But most of the population of Judea was a mixed breed of people known as Jews. However, it can be concluded that the land, the government, the economics, and the temple worship was in control of the descendants of Esau, Canaan, the Shelah branch of Judah, whom we refer to as Judah Jerusalem, or the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It was not in control of the Israelite stock of people, and of course they were of the dispersion into Assyria. They were not locally located in Judea. So, Moving up to the time of Christ, the positions then of these chief priests and the elders were occupied by these inhabitants of Jerusalem. They were not Israelites, but a mixed breed of people. Again, they were called Jews. It was these people's ancestors who later rejected Christ, both as Messiah and King. They were not Israel again. They were not 12 tribe Israel. These people were at best a small remnant of Judah who had mixed with those of Esau, Shelah, Ishmael, and the Hittites, and all the other peoples we talked about earlier. The people whom Josephus called Jews. They are the nation which killed the prophets, stoned God's messengers, and rejected and crucified our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Now, the Pharisees and the Jews knew exactly who they were when they claimed that they were not only of Abraham's seed, but also that they never were in bondage to any man. That's what they told Jesus. This is a boast no Israelite could make because of their bondage of their forefathers in Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, not to mention the bondages recorded in Judges. Well, in any event, it was this mixed race of people called Jews or Jewry who were practicing Phariseeism and living in Judea, and who were always fussing with Christ for not obeying the traditions of the elders. Now maybe it becomes easy to understand why Christ said in John chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, "Ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It was this nation of Jews, that's right, this nation of Jews who believed not and practiced Phariseeism and who rejected Christ. It was not the house of Israel, and it was not the house of Judah that rejected our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was those of Jewry who stayed in Palestine until they were destroyed later as a nation in 70 AD. They were the bad figs of Jeremiah 24. They were the broken bottle of Jeremiah 19, fulfilled in 70 AD again when Jerusalem was broken by the Roman general Titus. That broken bottle has never been mended and never will be mended, as prophecy foretells. And the group of false Israelites of Jewry who occupied Jerusalem in 1948 did not fulfill any prophecy pertaining to Israel, that is. Well, having looked at the Jews a little bit, I want to now look at Israel at the time of Christ. Remember now, the nation of Israel originally consisted of 12 tribes. These 12 tribes were split into two houses, the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and both of these houses were taken for the most part into Assyrian captivity. And this just left a remnant of Judah, Benjamin, and some of the Levites in the city of Jerusalem to go to Babylonian captivity. Thus, again, the nation was divided into three separate entities, that is, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, and Jerusalem, or I refer to them as the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, just knowing these three divisions of Israel make any study of the Old Testament just a little bit easier to understand. In the New Testament, the nation of Israel and the house of Israel and the house of Judah as a political entity does not exist. And, of course, that's because of their dispersion. However, the tribes did exist, and they were referred to by James as follows. Now, this comes out of James chapter 1, verse 1. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." James seemed to understand that there were still 12 tribes out there somewhere, and they were dispersed throughout other lands. And being dispersed, they were not in the land of Canaan, now called Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. And Peter seemed to understand this too, for in his epistles to the 12 tribes, he calls them the elect who are the sojourners of the dispersion. Let's read it. 1 Peter 1:1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect who are the sojourners of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Now, I read that out of the King James Version, the English Revised Version. "Caiaphas, who is the high priest in the Sanhedrin, on the council in John chapter 11, verse 52, he made a prediction referring to Israel, and he called them the children of God that are scattered abroad." So even Caiaphas didn't seem to have a problem understanding that although they did not exist politically as a nation, that they certainly existed as a mass of people out there. There is no doubt that these scattered people are the people of Israel. And it was no mystery to James, Peter, Caiaphas, and to John, who wrote the Gospel of John also, what had happened to them. They were simply scattered abroad. And more importantly, the majority of the children of Israel were not, And I say again, were not in Judea. They were not in Samaria. They were not in Galilee or Jerusalem at the time of Christ. They were scattered abroad throughout Asia Minor and to other lands to the north and to the west. And while it is not within the scope of this study, they became what is known today as the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and kindred peoples of the earth. But getting back to Judea, because Israel was scattered does not mean that none of the people in Judea and Jerusalem were of Israel, as there were certainly some who had kept their lineage pure. But again, most of the population of Judea was this mixed breed of people we have described earlier. What Israelites were in these areas probably had to leave Palestine within 3 years after Christ was crucified because of the persecution. Well, we have covered the early history of Israel and the Jews up to the time of Christ. And I think in our next broadcast, we'll turn our subject and move on to Judaism and the Khazars.